Noah, this one's for you.
We're musicians. We get antsy.
We can't
fill time. We
can't
still have 7 minutes to go.
We're going to sing a
song.
And
we can't sit still.
For Noah. Noah loves this song.
Wave, Noah. Give a wave.
Okay, now hold on now. We need to give these people a little bit of info, a little background history for Noah. All right, so for how many years did Noah have to endure the issue with the lungs? How many years did he endure that?
Several.
10? Mm-hmm. I forgot. Okay, anyway, Noah had a double lung transplant done. Is it two years ago now? And while Noah was in the hospital, we go live on Facebook. We do Facebook Live on Thursday nights, and Noah would watch us on Facebook Live, and his grandpa Chris and grandma Maggie were in there. Both pastors, by the way, Pastor Chris Trumbull and Pastor Maggie Trumbull are in here. So glad you guys could be here with us today, also. But Noah liked us to sing this song, so we like to sing this whenever he rolls in.
And he's here, so we're doing it now.
And he's here, and Facebook Live is live right now, and let's just sing along. There's no words, but hey.
Not a Christmas song, but do it anyway.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the God I love and hold him tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and say that you belong to me, and ease my mind, imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. Skies will be blue for all my life. Me and you and me, no matter how they toss and dice, it had to be the only one for me and you for me. So happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. Toss the dice, it had to be the only one for me and you for me. So happy together. Ba 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 ba. Me and you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it had to be the only one for me and you for me. So happy together. So happy together. So happy together.
For those of you who have not been here to this church before, yes, we are in a very impromptu praise band. We also do a, what do we officially call the concert you do, guy? My brain is locked up.
The car show.
Thank you. We also do, Bruce likes to lead charge on getting a bunch of old cars in here. Okay, something like that, right? It kind of all comes together. Well, look at that. It's getting pretty close to 7 o'clock, so it's like close enough to just really start having some fun. Okay, we got a little something here to get you all interested and excited. So let me make sure I've got my button right here. I do. Click.
Hey, honey. Hey, which part of the church are you in, the left or the right?
Well, it's a candlelight service. I got to know where you're at.
Oh, ask her if my wife and kids are sitting with
her. Huh? You're wearing red and green and you're holding a candle. Great, I'll be able to spot you out immediately.
Ask her.
Huh? Oh, is Tommy's wife and kids with you?
Yeah, there. Okay, all right. See you in a minute. Love you, too. Bye.
Are we late?
We were 15 minutes late 10 minutes ago. What do you think?
What I think is that Jesus is going to like what I got him.
What do you mean?
It's his birthday.
And?
And I got him a present.
A present? What present? We don't need to give him gifts.
Really? You think we just show up, light a few sticks of wax, sing some songs, and call it good?
Oh, the candlelight service isn't a birthday party. I mean, it's a time that we reflect on the birth of Christ. We light a candle as a message to the world that we believe that Christ will return one day. It's a light that dispels the darkness. We light a candle as a prayer that goes up to heaven that our hope burns bright. It's the true essence of Christmas.
Did you rehearse that? No thanks.
Did you hear what I said? We light the candle because...
Yeah, I heard you.
Well, then grab a candle.
I got my own. Happy birthday, Jesus.
You're not going to bring that in there.
Sure I am. I want everyone to know that I'm thankful that he came and I'm looking forward to his return.
That actually makes sense.
Who's not playing with a full deck now? Ow! The wax! I didn't think about the wax. It is so hot. I need something that I can... There we go. That's better. Merry Christmas.
Cry.
I need my peeps up here.
He does.
Come up here, hurry.
December 24th, while the earth lay cold and barren neath the snowdrifts of the north, on this night there sat a farmer with his loved ones all about. There was sadness, for the wheat crop had withered in the drought. As the farmer set despairing, came a knock upon the door. There before him stood two travelers, looking weary, sick, and sore. There was no room, said one traveler, at the inn from which we came. I am Joseph with my good wife, and Mary is her name. The miracle of the wheat. Hear the glory of a story. The miracle of the wheat.
Then the farmer made them welcome, and he shared his meager bread. In his barn he gave them shelter. Out of straw he made their bed. When he left them looking eastward, a new star lit up the sky. Even stranger in his slumber, he heard an infant cry. When he wakened in a morning, what a wonder did he meet. For before him, where the snow lay, stood a field of golden. The miracle of the wheat. Hear the glory of a story. The miracle of the wheat. As the good man on the river looked around him at a loss, in the sunlight on the manger cast the shadow of the cross.
Those peeps were my sister and my niece.
Welcome to our pre-Christmas Eve service, or as Greg has named it, our Adam service. And
Adam goes before Eve.
Adam goes before Eve.
Christmas Adam service.
I was assuming that everybody knew that. And I think majority of people did, so that's good. Welcome. We're glad that you decided to take some time out and just come worship with us. Somebody might be thinking in their mind, why in the world are you doing this on a Monday when Christmas is on a Wednesday? And the reason is because you're too busy on Christmas Eve. People are busy, you know, and so anyway, we just want to do something different. And we do kind of shake things up around here occasionally, so we're just glad you're here. Normally in a Sunday morning service, you would see asterisks out here. There are no asterisks. Asterisks mean, please stand if you can. So please sit back and enjoy the service. Feel free to join in and sing. We'd love to have you, participate. If you're not comfortable, soak it up. And just have a good time.
It's not on the lectern. If you have it. I don't think it's here, Emily.
Well, in the meantime. One of the things that Jim and I had talked about on occasion, we never did this, was sharing a sermon.
Oh, that's right.
Sharing some time together and just talking about that. So I guess the question would be is, if you hadn't prepared a message, what would you do?
We would improvise.
We would improvise. I always thought, and I did a lot of speaking when before I retired. I've done a lot since then. But I always had an acronym of something, ABC or something, that was always on my mind, that I knew if I had an impromptu something you got to say, you can always come up with something. A lot of times I fell flat on my face.
What was your acronym?
Help. H-E-L-P. H-E-L-P, yeah. Yeah, so I think if we would do that, probably hell's in there right now waiting for...
Well, we will improvise because it looks like Emily is taking a little bit longer to find the writing. So let's improvise and go with this reading right here.
Now that's the part of the
script. I know, but we'll improvise.
Oh, you really want to improvise. Well, maybe you can sing.
Actually, we can. We do have an extra song.
Okay, that'd be perfect.
Do how many kings?
All right, Dad, Hope Was Born. Hope Was Born. Hope Was Born. We had this set up as an alternate because Melody was traveling today, and we weren't sure if Melody was going to be able to be here or not. There's not going to be words on the screen for this, obviously. But fortunately, we actually have it. So, Brandon, whenever you're ready.
I was so sad when this was only an alternate.
Not an alternate anymore.
Tonight I can see a star shine, and its splendor fills up the sky. It's the same that appeared and the wise men revealed when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy fields, There's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace. Whose hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. I can hear the Christmas bells ring as softly a church choir sings. It's a song used to praise in the ancient of days, when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounds with the praise. Like a shepherd, so skin I rejoice and declare that hope was born this night.
Rejoice, people of God. The light has come into the world. We now light the candle of your nativity. With the company of heaven and with the sounds of great joy, you come to us. This is the time of light and resplendent joy. We have known times when God has come and brought life and light to our world. God has been born among us. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed a time when those who walked in the shadows would see a great light. A light would shine, and a child would be born unto us. The evangelist Luke painted the nativity sky and repeated the heavenly song of the angels, glory, peace on earth, and goodwill. John declared that this great light is Christ, the Word made flesh. This great light lives among us. By it we behold God's glory, full of grace and truth. At Christ's nativity, we now rejoice.
To a place unexpected, would you believe, after all we've projected, a child in a manger? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Bringing out gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have with a costly omission, because we believe.
To share with you from the Gospel of Luke, the birth of Jesus is foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, her relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month." For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go up, yet in thy dark streets shine.
They're not up here. I'm going to start improvising. I'm going to tell y'all stories about Larry.
I'll just act like they're not up there then.
Yeah. Okay. I'm reading Mary Visits Elizabeth. Make sure this is right. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, so the pastor said no asterisks. However, I'm going to insert one here. If you'd like to stand, please do as we sing the first note.
To certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Born is the King of Israel.
Mary's praise. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women." Cindy didn't move her page. Yes,
She's visiting us on Sundays. It's even funnier.
Mary was blessed twice. I feel like Johnny Carson. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering them to be merciful. To Abraham and to his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him on, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on, the babe, the Son of Mary. Bells, spears shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Okay, we've got the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols play. Mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing,
peace on earth.
Like a choir they're singing,
peace on earth.
In my heart I hear them,
peace on earth.
And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing,
peace on earth.
Like a choir they're singing,
peace on earth.
Does anybody hear them?
Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he. Shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, they're ringing,
peace on earth.
Like a choir, they're singing,
peace on earth.
With our hearts, we'll hear them,
peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Do you hear the bells, they're ringing?
Peace on earth.
Like the angels singing,
peace on earth.
Open up your heart and hear them,
peace on earth, goodwill to men.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had heard them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see if this thing has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which is just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand if you're able for this one. This is Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, ring your triumph o'er all the earth. Ye who sign creation's glory, now proclaim.
Sit. Past Christmas Eve, I've been accused of yoga class? Calisthenics, whatever it's called. Okay, well, we have some special music for you tonight. Melody had asked me to bring this up for Advent, the Thrill of Hope. Actually, Melody, do you want to say anything about this song? Because you picked it.
Honestly, I just picked it because I thought it was a beautiful song. It was during Advent season, but...
Well, then that's what we're going with.
But, yeah, it's a good piece that really talks about really waiting for God, and because there aren't really a whole lot of songs that are in the Advent season, and so this song really speaks to that moment of before we're building up, before we get to that point of Jesus is here. There's a lot of that waiting that we end up doing, and a lot of that expectation. So this song, I think, really covers that pretty well.
Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the everlasting light, Son of righteousness, arise and triumph. Come thou long.
A couple weeks ago, I had a bow tie on, and we were standing out in the lobby, and I shared this a Sunday morning, and there was four of us standing out there, and we got to talking about the length of messages, and Jim said, "Is your message as short as your tie?" Well, Jim, if you're here to listen to a 35 or 40 minute message, you're going to be disappointed. No applause. We've read the story of the birth of Jesus. And what we celebrate on December the 25th. But I don't want you to be disappointed if I tell you that Jesus probably wasn't born on December the 25th. It just happens to work out okay. And I say that because he was probably born when the weather was warmer. Because shepherds wouldn't be out watching their flocks in the dead of winter. And we kind of get the idea that Jesus was born when we celebrate it. Because that's the day that we pick. But we didn't have anything to do with it. Might shock some of us, but we really didn't. But it was a cool, starry night that night. The temperature in the region during that time is about 40 degrees. And so it's not real cold, not like we faced a few weeks ago, not like we're going to face today and tomorrow. So the temperatures would vary, and Mary and Joseph had come 5 miles. That might like seem, that's no big deal. You know, I can get in my SUV and drive 5 miles in 7 minutes. Or some of us who read some scripture can make it in about 3.5 minutes. But we have that discussion on more than once. But it was about 5 miles to pay their taxes. Caesar had decreed that everyone would pay taxes within that region. So they had to go to their own city. Well, Isaiah forecast, prophesied that Jesus would be born. The Bible says he would be born in Bethlehem. Funny how things work together for God's plan to come together. Too often we think it's not really his plan. Maybe I had something to do with it, but really we didn't. We know the stars were shining, the air was brisk, it was probably a little cool that night. In the city of Bethlehem was a whole bunch of people. The average population that I read in Bethlehem was about 300 people for a village that size, with 6 or 7 children under the age of 1, so it wasn't a huge, huge place. And so when we stop and think about that, we wonder, well, how could Luke be so precise? And how could he be so accurate in what he said? But yet, Bible scholars and historians have said that Luke's account of this was precise. It was exact, even down to the taxation and the way that people were taxed. And so if we listen to some of the events or the details, we'll see how meticulous he was. And after all, Luke was a physician. And we would want him to be meticulous. We wouldn't want him to be that doctor in the commercial that comes in and says he just got reinstated. But we would rather have someone meticulous give us some information. So he mentions that this is being the first census during the reign of Augustus. And that was before Christ was born. We know from Roman records that censuses were taken at different times in different provinces. They weren't all taken at the same time. So if we think about that, we would look at Luke's reference and we would think, well, you know, he's probably right, because those censuses and those taxes being taken and being paid was done across the different provinces. Interesting, though, that Augustus was the first Caesar in history to order a census to be taken regularly. They used to take it intermittently and take it whenever they really thought it was maybe the right thing to do. But with him, it was like every 14 years. And Luke says they took the first census took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So if we look back at the dates of history, we find out that those dates hold true. So the story tells us there was an angel appeared before the shepherds. Why shepherds? Well, what do shepherds do? They watch. They look for things. And the scripture says that the shepherds were watching, and we sing songs about the shepherds were watching at night. It was a clear night. Stars are out. Whole bunch of stars probably, I'm sure, but there was one bright star that caught the attention of three shepherds. It wasn't three wise men. It wasn't three geniuses. It wasn't three doctors. It wasn't three philosophers or religious leaders of that day. It was three shepherds. Shepherds were the lowest hope of achieving anything in the world. And you remember, Mary said that she was a lowly servant. So why wouldn't a shepherd find Jesus? And so I'm sure the shepherds were surprised when they got there, and they envisioned this baby laying there wrapped in cloths, or as I think the King James says, swaddling clothes. I got to admit, it's been a long time since I've read the King James, because I can read some other things and understand them a lot better. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. You know, I mean, so that you can understand and grasp the meaning of it. But people in that day thought he was going to come as a king, riding in on a white horse. Take no prisoners. A lot of people thought that he was going to be a warrior, a noble leader of some nature. But he came as a baby. That's how it happened. It's not the way I would have written it. I would have written it a lot different. Probably a lot more dramatic. But I didn't write it. I didn't really have anything to say about it. All I can do is read it and imagine what it would have been like. Cool, brisk night. But oh, what a night it was. People in Bethlehem, some of them are probably partying, having a good time. Some, you know, I mean, stop and think of people that you know. Stop and think of maybe yourself. What might you be doing on this night that you're there to be counted and you're there to pay your taxes? I'm sure it was a somber night for a lot of people. Because if taxes were then like they are today, we all grumble when we have to pay them. But God sent a baby to take away the sin of the world. Cool, brisk weather. An innkeeper too busy to find a room. And I shared a couple weeks ago, he was probably washing towels, cleaning rooms, maybe making a meal for people, too busy to take a moment to provide a room for a pregnant woman. No room in the inn, but there was room in the stable. Not a king in all his array and his fine garments and the attire that he would wear could ever be imagined as a baby arrayed and wrapped in clothes and cloths. They were probably provided by the innkeeper. He may have done that for them. We don't know. It's interesting to me when we stop and think about why were the shepherds the first people? Well, we figure they were probably, as I said, watching. But when they saw the star, they didn't wait. They immediately went. And that's a message for us today, that when Jesus speaks to us, or God tells us to do something, don't wait. Go do it. The shepherds were the first to see the great shepherd Jesus is referred to. So at this Christmas season in 2019, I'm just going to be frank, honest, blunt, and candid. Are we the busy innkeeper? Are we too busy to make time for Jesus Christ? Are we the partiers? Maybe out celebrating and having a good time. Nothing wrong with having a good time. Nothing at all. Maybe we're the tax collectors and the census takers, and all we were interested in was getting the right amount of money, getting the right count of people. Let me encourage you not to be the person at this Advent season to miss the greatest gift of all. Because there are people that will walk into church on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning services and walk out just as empty as they were when they walked in. It's a sad thing. Well, I might have too many things to change. I do this, or I do that. God won't take me this way. I've got to clean up myself. I'll tell you a secret. We can never clean ourselves up enough. No matter how hard we try, the only person that can clean us up is Jesus Christ. Make the choice to follow the baby that was born in a manger. On a 40-degree night, don't miss that opportunity. That's your 35-minute message. We are going to share communion. This is a United Methodist Church. You don't have to be a member of the United Methodist Church to participate in communion. I love that. You can be a Baptist. You can be a Presbyterian, even though they believe in closed communion, but it's open here. Everybody's welcome to come and share at this table. But there is a requirement. Jesus wants us to come with a clean heart. Not anything that we clean up, but something that he cleans up and wipes away things in there. Well, what if I have to give that up? Or what if I have to give this up? Deal with it. Deal with it with Jesus. Because if you come and ask me if you're doing something wrong, you're asking the wrong person. because I'm not going to tell you. We all know what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer with me, and we do it a lot at Sundays here. But it's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer to ask God into our life. And I've often said, churches sometimes make it so difficult. And Jesus said in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you, the first thing is to believe that God wants to forgive you. And then the second thing is, I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask you to pray it right after me just to follow. Don't worry about anything other than making that decision in Advent 2019. Would you bow your heads? Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I was conceived in sin. But I know you're the Savior of the world. My Savior. Jesus, I confess my sin. And I repent and will turn around and go the other way. You'll show me what I need to do. But the important thing for me is to receive you into my life. And Jesus, I do. I receive you.
And Jesus, I do. I do receive you.
And I confess with my mouth that you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth that you are Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. If you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, it doesn't get any better than that. We're going to celebrate communion. And it's done different ways, means different things to different people. And we talk about Isaiah a lot here. And I mentioned him earlier tonight that 750 years before Jesus' birth, he prophesied that Jesus would be born. And he also said, as he talked about Jesus, he said, by his stripes, we're healed. It's a physical healing because of the stripes he bore for us. We also believe that by his shed blood, we have forgiveness of sin. It's because of that sacrifice that we have hope to live tomorrow and hope for a future. So Jesus was sitting around with his disciples that night before he was crucified, often referred to as the Lord's Supper. And he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Broken that you can have physical healing." And then he took the cup. And he passed the cup around. And a lot of times people think it was just, you know, it was just a cup. It really wasn't. Wine in the New Testament time had special significance. And so this was probably the third cup they had that night as they were sitting around the table. And he took the cup and he passed it around and he said, "This is my shed blood. This represents my death. You can have life as a result of that." We've prayed. We believe. We've confessed. I want to encourage you to join us. Now, if you're not comfortable with communion, that's fine. We fully understand. But I would just encourage you, if you, when you're ready, feel free to come forward. We have bread available up here, and we have two different ways of sharing communion. We have bread that you can dip, in the cup. It's called intinction. Or we also have cups available if you would prefer to just have a cup of the juice to represent his body. But let me encourage you. If you need healing, receive it. Because this is what he did first. With those that are going to serve, would you come forward, please? We do have gluten-free available. And Cindy will have that over here on your left.
Are one body in this world.
little fields scattered and grown, gathered to one for all.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one. Body in this one Lord,
broken for you, battered for me, the sacrifice.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout are one body in this one Lord. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we go throughout. We are one body in this one Lord.
I'll share with you the Silent Night story. On Christmas Eve, 1818, local musicians were to perform a Christmas program at a church near Salzburg, Austria. They discovered that the church organ had been rendered inoperable due to mice eating holes in the bellows. It was a poem written earlier by Joseph Moore of that church, and it was suggested, and Moore sought out a local songwriter named Franz Gruber. And Franz Gruber put Moore's poem to music. Gruber quickly compiled this, but with the church's organ being out of order, Gruber just grabbed his guitar, started to pick out a tune, something that would go along with this poem. Gruber performed this song the first time publicly on his guitar at a mass, that Christmas mass in 1818. So please join us now in this timeless classic on the 200th anniversary of Silent Night.
Silent.
All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sweet and
celebrating with you, thinking about the birth of Jesus and what it means to mankind and to the world. Have the merriest and most blessed Christmas that you've ever experienced this year. May God bless you all. Amen.